What's good, my man?
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. And also on the brand new ESPN Houston app. You should download it if you haven't already. It's so much better. You can even chat. We have giveaways on it from time to time. Working on the Android side of it, but it is available for you on your iPhone. Who are the Mount Rushmore of dogs? First off, you have to, absolutely have to put Scooby-Doo in there. After that, it gets a little tricky. Is Snoopy there? Snoopy can play instruments. Snoopy daydreams about being a fighter pilot, taking on the World War I era Germans, who were not the Nazis but were equally vilified back in the day. So I guess you could put him up there. Brian Griffin's an obnoxious drunk, so no, like someone who looks down on you because he's read a couple of books, so not a fan of him. The dog from Call of the Wild, Buck, that dog I think is up there, because that dog was a domesticated one and he went out in the wild and he became a wild dog, so he's definitely up there. I would say Ghost from Game of Thrones, Jon Snow's dog, is also on that Mount Rushmore.
I don't mean to gatekeep, Paul, but wasn't he a wolf?
Oh, he was a dire wolf. I guess that's true.
I don't know inclusive you want your Mount Rushmore to be.
That's fair.
Are we doing wolves or are we doing dogs?
That's fair. That's totally
but
fair.
But he was a pet. I can see where the line is blurred.
Clifford the Big Red Dog, nope, because who's picking up that poop? Who is picking up that poop? I bet that Clifford the Big Red Dog's parents just left it on the sidewalk. I bet they never took care of it, not once. So, listen, that's something that I feel like you have to keep in mind. I will put Bud, Air Bud, he's definitely got to be on it. And I'm getting some other ones here. Balto. No, Balto. Yeah, Balto's a husky. Huskies are cute, but huskies are a little dramatic. So no, I'm not going to put him in there. Just not. How about this? Wishbone the dog from the PBS TV show about books. Because I learned a lot from Wishbone. I think he was a great teacher. So there you go. That's the Mount Rushmore of dogs. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to jump in, you can at 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. The Mount Rushmore of dogs. We got a lot of people from the 281. Snoopy played the guitar, you uncultured swine. We can't put Cujo on. Wasn't Cujo eating children? Same thing with Hercules from the movie The Sandlot, like supposedly eating children. That's what, at least what the perception was.
Hercules turned out to be fine, though.
He did turn out to be fine, but like once the mystery was gone, he just became a disgusting slobbering dog. You know,
he was very slobbering.
Oh, Beethoven.
I've never seen the Beethovens.
People will be mad if he doesn't get mentioned. I don't know if he's Mount Rushmore, but Beethoven was a good. Deserves to be on the bubble.
Okay. Okie doke. I'll allow it. I just do not. It's like a reference that's going over my head.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably like few. A little too. It's like in the weird zone between our age group of when those movies came out.
Blue's Clues? I mean.
It's a good dog.
What
also
happened to
taught
Steve?
You a lot. Also taught what happened you to a lot.
What happened to Steve? And by the way, we're having this conversation because Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett said the Houston Rockets are dogs.
Yes.
Just wanted to make it clear.
Very this professional is, reset.
This is a sports-related conversation.
Steve, Blue, yeah. He came back, didn't he? He left and came back?
That's true, but he was gone for like 20 years. Did Blue have him in like, and Blue probably dog, you know, dies at age 16, 14, dies of natural causes, and then Steve's out all of a sudden?
Like Saint Steve was on the run?
I don't know. No, I think Blue might have kidnapped Steve and put him in a basement. And then they're like, I want all the money, and we're going to bring in this replacement, and we're going to pay him. We're going to pay him less.
Look at me. I'm Bluey. I'm the captain now.
Right. Oh, and you've also got Bluey. I don't have a kid yet. B-Mac, are you watching Bluey yet?
No, my daughter's not into that.
Okay. I got to ask Joe, because Joe's here as well, if Joe Jr.'s watching Bluey. Because I know some kids watch Bluey. I have yet to see it. Ooh, Scuff McGruff, the crime dog. That's fair.
It was a narc, though. I'm not putting a narc on our Mount Rushmore.
Vigilante justice that Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine.
He was high. We can't have them on the same list. You can't have McGruff the crime dog and Scooby-Doo
McGruff
on the same
was
list.
He was going through the right channels.
McGruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. It's sad that I still
know that
song.
That sounds
like
you're doing the Tally voice.
Hey. Where Tally did drugs. And
he and Scooby would have got along.
They would have gotten along a lot. Mount Rushmore dogs. There was one that came to mind a moment ago when my scatterbrain it went off because B-Mac made a funny. That was a funny line. Scrappy-Doo, no. I don't want to sound abusive towards dogs, but I think I would have left. Shout out to Robbie who came out here. I think I would have left Scrappy back at the home. I think I would.
Wow.
I think I would. Scrappy's annoying as hell. Scrappy sucks. Yeah, Scrappy's the worst.
Scrappy doesn't get his forever home.
No. You ever, F Scrappy.
You ever go to someone's house and they have a dog and you're like, this dog sucks. That's Scrappy.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Oh, that's the absolute worst. Mount Rushmore of dogs. Ooh, I got one. I got it. Now, people are going to get mad at this one, but I think this one that deserves a place at the table. I think Sean's watched this show, Cat Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's half cat and half dog.
No.
What is that from?
It's a TV show called Cat Dog on Nickelodeon.
Oh, no, I've never seen it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm putting him on because it's still got a little cat in
me. I feel like this becomes hot button issue real fast.
For a second, I thought that was from Sean's favorite movie, Dogman.
No, Dogman also
Dogman.
Sucks.
Narc. Dogman sucks?
Narc.
Oh, he is a narc.
He's
that a is
cop.
True.
Oh, that's true. He is a narc, yeah.
And we've already established cop dogs are out.
No, yeah, they're out.
Cat dog, can't have a though, cop dog. Cat dog, you know, the haters will say he's 50% cat, 50% dog. So does he belong on the dog list?
Yeah, it's not quite a majority.
He doesn't have a dog in him.
Because the cat's first and the dog's second.
Listen, we saw with the boxer in the Olympics, we see Simone Biles and that swimmer get into it. I just don't want that. I just don't want that to be part of the culture war to have cat dog. You know, it's hot button these days.
Which one? I've always wondered this about cat dog, and sorry to make people think about this in the lunch hour.
Let's do it.
How does he go to the bathroom? Like, which one?
Which half is cat?
Like, well, because cats do hairballs a lot.
Right.
Which might be more natural for the cat.
And I think the cat spit up hairballs in the cartoon, if I remember this cartoon.
So maybe it was
25
years maybe the hairball was.
So the cat was the upper half?
Well, the cat. No, like, they both had heads.
Look up a picture.
But
Brian,
what I digest
please
okay.
inform
All
yourself.
Right.
Do your own research.
I sound very
dog,
ignorant.
Please.
I sound very
it's like,
ignorant.
It's like
right
a
now.
Half. Like there's like a.
They're both faces. Both ends of the animal.
This is a two-headed animal.
Two-headed. Yeah.
Okay.
Head to head.
And they're connected. They're like conjoined.
Yeah.
Sounding very Greek here. Mythology.
It is very Greek.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mount Rushmore of Dog Talk continues. This is a wild story that Sean Mapes has brought to my attention. Later on in the show, we'll talk about the Houston Rockets draft, and obviously they didn't do anything last night, but how did it affect them? This is a fascinating story. I'm going to read about it during the commercial break, but it involves a very recent Houston Rocket who went through some bleep. It's the Paul Gallant Show, live at Cactus Jack's. Stay put.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jack's in Baytown as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's also live on YouTube, Twitch, and the brand new ESPN Houston app. We're here at Cactus Jack all afternoon in Mount Bellevue. Sorry for those who are Mount Bellevueites who are like, that man ain't in Baytown. Sorry about that. It's a cool name for a town, gotta say. Also, that means that a little separation from Baytown. I'm okay with that. Okay with that. A little further than Baytown. This is a fantastic place to stop, though, if you're on your way to Louisiana. Like, you could stop at that place with the Beaver, but I think you should go a little further. It's got this kind of big barn house vibe. There's an indoor area with air conditioning. There's an outdoor patio area. There is a place for kids to play. Two massive bars. It's a very, very well set up place. I guess it opened in 2023. So if you're on your way out here, and I know that we got a lot of listeners that are in the Beaumont area, if you're on your way over here, this is a fantastic place to stop before you hit all the misery of traffic here in our fair city of Houston. So we'll be out here, and it's part of the summer circuit where you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. We'll get back to the Mount Rushmore dogs. This is just a wild story posted by TMZ. Dylan Brooks, who has not officially been traded to the Phoenix Suns, he is still a member of the Houston Rockets, has filed a request for a temporary restraining order against his ex-girlfriend and the mother of his two children. Her name is Heather Andrews. Brooks made the request yesterday. They have two daughters. One is five. One is two. Very sad that children are involved in a situation like this. I am a child of divorce. Things were never even close to this bad between my parents. I would say, hey, grow up. It's been a lot of time since y'all got divorced. But get this, last time they were around each other, they actually interacted well. That was nice. Big of both of them. But to bring it back to this story, which is just absolutely horrible, Brooks alleges that Heather Andrews made violent threats against him, damaged his property, hacked into his various social media accounts throughout the relationship. Among her violent threats, he claimed, she said she would cut off his fingers. He met her during a visit to a Las Vegas nightclub in 2018. They began a relationship not long after. Within months of being together, she became pregnant. Shortly after that, Brooks said the emotionally abusive behavior started. Brooks alleged that she shared screenshots of their private conversations with several publications in an effort to sway public opinion against him. Damn. He also claimed that after she became pregnant with their second child, she was increasingly more aggressive and threatening. These threats included various different ways she was going to hurt him, personally, professionally, or both. In one of the included screenshots of their communications, Andrews allegedly wrote, I'll have someone cut each one of your effing little fingers off one by one so you can never play basketball. LOL. And actually now I understand why people are racist. She said, this allegedly, I'll send someone after your mom, bitch. Woof. By the way, last year, Andrews obtained a temporary restraining order against Dylan Brooks for alleged harassment and threats. That's something I didn't see. So they're going to stand before a L.A. judge to present their respective cases next month. Awful. Really awful. I thought Brooks was a model citizen when he was here. I thought he did a great job helping Ime Udoka install his culture. I thought he was surprisingly better offensively than, you know, you expected. And defensively, you always know what he brings to the table. I feel bad for him. I think I understand, and I'm not a father. I know, BMAC, you're a father. Maybe someday I will be. But if you're in a situation where you have kids with somebody, how can you leave that person even if things get to the point where they're like that? Like, it's not an easy decision, even with the threats that are coming over and over again, you know? Especially when they're happening, the threats, while she's pregnant. I just feel for Dylan Brooks. This is an awful lot, obviously. We don't know all the details. There's two sides to this story, I'm sure, but we just got a lot from TMZ Sports. And I don't know, you just read the entire timeline of that, from them meeting at the nightclub to her getting pregnant very shortly soon afterwards to everything since then. Just in that little timeline I read to you. Good God. You want to chime in? 713-780-3776 to call into text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. So, Hunter Brown's on the hill for the Houston Astros today. They're taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, looking for a sweep. They win the first game of the series 1-0, thanks to the Cooper Hummel home run in the eighth inning. Last night they win 2-0, a shutout courtesy of not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but five different lefties on the hill. Colton Gordon, meanwhile, continues to be really good out there. I mean, Colton Gordon is the latest Astros pitcher that you throw into the fire and you're like, okay, what? Sure, I'll accept this. Last year you got it from J.P. France. You got it from Ronel Blanco. So 2 years ago with J.P. France. Last year from Ronel Blanco. Hell, I mean, I think Jose Urquidy, when he first came onto the scene, that was pretty damn surprising. It's just amazing what they get out of the pitchers. Yusei Kikuchi has the best stretch of his career when he was here last year. It's incredible what the pitchers for this team do. I am interested to know whether or not a departure from the Astros pitching coaching staff could potentially have an effect. For those who don't know, the Astros lost their pitching coordinator, Eric Neeson, to Wake Forest. He will replace Corey Mascara as the school's new pitching coach. He's 39 years old. Mascara was hired by Duke to be their new head coach. Neeson pitched at Wake Forest from 2005 through 2007, 10-year playing career, six of which in affiliated ball. The Mets drafted him in 2007. He has been in the Astros organization as a minor league pitching coach since 2021 before becoming the director of pitching in November. The role required Neeson to oversee Houston's entire pitching infrastructure. He made frequent visits to all the Astros minor league affiliates and every now and then would join the major league coaching staff in an advisory role for a series or two. So maybe not as hands-on with the major league side of it, but everyone that has been a part of the Astros pitching program from the bottom to the top level of baseball has been fantastic. Top of the second for the Astros, it is 0-0. I believe the Phillies just put the first base runner on. So there you go. Mr. Mills asks, you having trouble reading other people's stories in those glasses, Maverick? Yeah, I have to actually go a little bit close to the computer while I'm wearing these. Here's the thing where this is the reason I wear the sunglasses. And this is the same reason I wear sunglasses while in my car. Don't judge me, because I know you guys think this too. But when I'm doing a show and I'm by myself, if I don't have the sunglasses on, I will make eye contact with someone. And that person will take the eye contact as a means of like, oh, I want to have a conversation with them. And you can't have a conversation with somebody when you're on the radio, because I'm talking to y'all, but this guy wants to talk with me. So if I talk with him and he doesn't have a microphone, it sounds terrible. So this is how I avoid the situation entirely. I just wear sunglasses. And I also do that so that I don't have to look at homeless people that come up at the many intersections of the greater Houston area panhandling. Because I feel horrible, but as somebody who once gave a person who was not homeless about $100 because I was feeling extra charitable because the person told me that he was a Katrina refugee and that his wife just had a miscarriage with twins and he needed some money so that he could get to his car, only for me to find out, and like a ride to his car, only for me to find out I was definitely dropping him off at a crack house because I was watching The Wire and I was like, this is what a crack house looks like, so I left. That was my one act of charity, probably ever. Not going to do it again. And I wear sunglasses now when I'm driving because that way I don't have to look. Because I do feel bad. I was raised Catholic. You're constantly dealing with guilt. You don't know what to do with it. But that's why I wear glasses when I'm out and about. And we are live here at Cactus Jack's. Come on out. Lovely place. There's a patio. There's an interior. There's TV so you can actually watch the Astros if you want. We're watching them right now. Up next, we are closer and closer to the start of the National Football League season. We are 69 days away, nice, from kicking things off. Who's the best number 69 in NFL history? And a couple of other tidbits, including the Houston Texans training camp schedule. It's the Paul Gallant Show, live at Cactus Jack's. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Football, baby.
And hush.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
Nice. Days away from the NFL season kicking off. Philadelphia Eagles dropping their second Super Bowl banner, hosting the Dallas Cowboys on September 4th. So, who's the best 69 in NFL history? I think it has to be Jared Allen, who just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, five-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro, 136 career sacks. Mark Schlereth, old stink, he wore 69. Schlereth, definitely someone who's had a fantastic post-playing career. I actually enjoy listening to Schlereth. We used to have him on from time to time in Seattle. And also, John Runyon wore 69. John Runyon's a really interesting character because, one, John Runyon used to be one of the dirtiest players in the NFL, but John Runyon is now a suit, and apparently that never happened. And for those who don't remember, John Runyon is the one who basically did a character assassination of Aziz Al-Shaair after Al-Shaair hit Trevor Lawrence. And it was like, hey, bro, ever look in the mirror. You're going to do a character assassination? I mean, you've been on lists as the dirtiest player in the NFL before. Like, and this was during a time of Rodney Harrison where there was real competition. You were up towards the top. So that's the 69. The Houston Texans training camp schedule has been revealed. It starts July 23rd. So it'll be July 23rd through 26th, July 28th through July 30th, August 1st and August 2nd. August 4th through 7th, they're going to the Greenbrier again. Take me home, country road, to the place I belong. Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. You could be my Sulphur Springs. That's not a song, but it is a good song. Sulphur Springs by Fleetwood Mac. Anyone hear it? No? Stevie Nicks wanted to release it on the album, and they wouldn't let Stevie Nicks release it on the album. And it was one of the many songs about the band's interpersonal drama. And then they finally actually played it live in 1996. And apparently it was about her and the guitarist for Fleetwood Mac, because they were Sheboygan back in the day. And she was singing about the relationship having ended. And if you watch the end of the song that's live, she is basically staring deep into his soul, screaming at him in the song. And they are making eye contact, and it is awesome. Watch it online. They started playing it on the radio after that happened. Anyway, bringing it back to the Houston Texans training camp schedule, August 11th through 13th, August 14th, they practice against the Panthers in Houston. So you see Bryce Young in town. And then they play their second preseason game against the Panthers, noon on Saturday the 16th. They play the Vikings in Minnesota on Saturday the 9th. Then just one practice the week before their last preseason game, August 18th. August 21st, they have a joint practice with the Lions in Michigan, and they wrap up the preseason August 23rd, another Saturday, taking on the Detroit Lions at noon. They have a couple more practices, August 25th and the 27th. August 26th is when they cut down the roster to 53 guys, and of course the season kicks off on September 4th. Paul, why are you just reading a calendar to us? It's a great question. That's why I added that little nugget about Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. You'll learn something today. I randomly have my moments when it comes to music. Speaking of music, this song sucks. The song called I'm Jalen Ramsey and I'm Demanding a Trade Again. Third time he's doing it, right? I don't like Jacksonville. Goes to L.A. I don't remember whether or not he asked out of L.A., but he did go to Miami. Now he's asking out of Miami. He's preferring West Coast teams. Rams, Chargers. I hope that he gets traded somewhere else. I hope he gets Ace Bailey. I hope he goes to the NFL's equivalent of Utah. Mainly because, okay, Jalen Ramsey, I get it. You don't want to play there anymore. But you're not like the Jalen Ramsey of old. You're still a good corner. But you're not the Jalen Ramsey of old. Do you really get to go wherever you want? So there's a part of me that kind of hopes he gets traded to the East Coast. How about the New York Giants? Like a bad team or something like that. We'll see what happens. Trade requests annoy me. Everyone's doing them now. And it feels like a lot of teams are now, instead of like standing their ground, they're like, ah, screw it. Let's just get rid of them. Tyreek Hill, meanwhile, says he's going to try to keep him. Okay, good luck. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers brain trust got extensions. They've been pretty good post-Tom Brady. So head coach Todd Bowles and general manager Jason Light received multi-year contract extensions, said Bucs owner Joel Glazer. Jason and Todd's excellent leadership and vision have been critical to our organizational success, and the winning culture they have established have us well-positioned into the future. Jason has evolved into one of the top talent evaluators and general managers in the NFL. While Todd has led us to three conference division, consecutive division titles and is one of the league's leading defensive minds. That is an interesting note about the NFC South. It's generally been so random. No team is able to be consistent in the division, winning the title over and over again. And now, post-Tom Brady, the Bucs are doing that. It is pretty crazy. Light's been there since 2014, and Bowles has been in charge of the Bucs since 2022. They have been in the playoffs, Tampa Bay, 5 years in a row. It will be interesting to see how they do this coming season. If you take a look at the grand scheme of the NFC, like, they're certainly annoying. And get this, the Texans' home opener is a Monday night football game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One of those doubleheader games. So it's at 6 p.m. That is going to be an empty-ass stadium. 6 p.m. on a Monday? I mean, give Houston more of a middle finger. It's impossible to get on 610 South going that direction. I'm going to have to go right after the show's done, and that annoys me. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. 10-minute drill. We are 69 days away. Cameron Jordan, remember him? Plays for the Saints. He believes that the excessive celebration penalty is the dumbest penalty in the NFL. Jordan said offensive players should be allowed to celebrate their touchdowns and that it's only fair to allow defensive players to celebrate as well. I get a sack on a quarterback, give me 5 seconds, put the spotlight on me. The NFL's loosened the reins on celebration rules to some extent, but it's going to penalize any celebration that involves taunting an opponent. Jordan doesn't agree with that. I'm with you. I'm with him there. Like, taunting should be okay. It's good television. Like, I don't get what the reason for not being okay with that is. What is it? Is it, oh, the children. Think about the children. Like, I can't for the life of me think of why that's such a problem. What else is here? Oh, how about this? Again, it's a slow time of football season. Remember Kendall Lamb? Kendall Lamb has been all over the league. He had been with the Miami Dolphins. Now, he's with the Philadelphia Eagles. Unfortunately, this guy is the byproduct, the victim. He is the victim of fake news. A website that often posts false information posted a quote of Kendall Lamb criticizing the Miami Dolphins, attributing it to an interview that Lamb gave to ESPN. He never gave that interview, but this quote went to Yahoo Sports, the USA Today, and Sports Illustrated. They still have the quote up days later, and some professional reporters for other outlets are spreading the quote on social media. Lamb had to post a video explaining he never said what he's alleged to have said, and that it hurts to have people continue contacting him and asking why he badmouthed his former team when he did no such thing. Said Lamb, quote, "I keep getting sent this article, apparently, that someone said I slammed Dolphins culture. One, I don't remember talking to any reporter about anything that we recently dealt with Miami and the Dolphins. Two, I was never raised that way to sit there and comment on certain things as far as culture and anything else within the locker room. Three, I have no animosity, no ill will, or bad intentions towards Miami or anyone, blah, 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 blah." I feel bad for him. It's got to suck to have someone put words in your mouth or make accusations about you that aren't true, and then you're not allowed to say anything about it, and you just have to sit in it because the people that you work for, they don't have your back. It's got to suck. That may or may not have happened to me in Seattle. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. 69 days away from the start of the NFL season. You know how to get aboard the show. We also are on the brand new ESPN Houston app. If you haven't downloaded it already, download it. It's available on Apple phones, not quite yet available on Android, but it will be available. We're going to be here live at Cactus Jack's in Mont Bellevue through the Killer Bees, so through 6 o'clock. Come out here and watch the Astros with us. And each week, this is part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit, each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value for registration to stop by the promo table by our stage at the broadcast. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We're live at Cactus Jack's.
Here's Paul Gallant.
The Astros have won two in a row with minimal offense. They took down the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0 on Tuesday night and 2-0 last night. Tuesday, Cooper Hummel hits the home run in the eighth inning that provides the difference in a game where Framber Valdez looked really solid. He's looked better, but shutout innings. And the bullpen came in, the big guns, and they took care of business. But last night, the Astros made history in their 2-0 win because they used five lefties to get a shutout of the Phillies. You got a home run from Victor Caratini, who continues to step up when needed. The Astros don't have any lefty bats. This home run, though, was from the right side of the plate, if I remember correctly. Today, the Astros are playing once again the Philadelphia Phillies. They lead the Phillies 1-0 in the top of the third inning. I'm trying to see how they scored. In the second inning, it was a Yiner Diaz single that drove home Jake Myers. Myers in this game in the second inning. He got on base via an infield single, got to second when Cam Smith was hit by a pitch. Christian Walker struck out. What a surprise. And then Yiner Diaz singled. Meyer scored all the way. Cooper Hummel struck out looking. Mauricio Dubon struck out swinging. Any run the Astros can get at this moment in time is an act of God. God wills it. God does will it. And we're thankful for that. Anyway. It's been a strange day for ex-Houston Rockets. Dylan Brooks is still technically a Houston Rocket, but he's been traded to the Phoenix Suns as part of the trade that's going to bring the Rockets. Kevin Durant, he filed a restraining order against his longtime girlfriend and the mother of his two children today. The details about some of the threats his girlfriend threw at him, pretty awful. And then we've got something else for an ex-Houston Rocket. That's also brutal. So I don't know how many people loved Dwight Howard when he played here. I liked Dwight Howard. I thought Dwight Howard was very good with the Houston Rockets. I felt like he got a lot of blame for the early years of James Harden, specifically the series against the Portland Trail Blazers that the Rockets lost in six. And, you know, of course, Damian Lillard hits that shot over Chandler Parsons in game six. But I go back to that series. Howard was so great, specifically in that last game. And James Harden, that was one of the first series where I was like, oh, this guy, like, has stamina issues. Like, he gets tired in playoff games. Playoff basketball doesn't suit him well. And then, of course, you had what happened in the 2015 series against the Clippers, too, which Dwight Howard was a part of. So, Dwight Howard, no longer in the NBA, definitely a bit of a strange guy, but the man loves dogs. And he posted on Instagram about his dog Sunday. I guess his dog got hit and run. Died. Brutal. Coward stuff, hitting and running a dog. I mean, I don't know how you can do it. I'm very partial to German Shepherds. I think their cute dogs are definitely a little scary. But yeah, if you go by the wrong ones, specifically the canine unit ones, they could be a little intimidating. But I love that breed of dog. That was his dog. His dog's name was Sunday. And it just got hit and run. So he put an Instagram post up. Who could be so heartless to do this to such an innocent girl with no remorse? That's brutal. I feel bad for Dwight. And he asked if anyone has any information regarding Belgian Malinois. Okay, Belgian Malinois, different than German Shepherd. They look similar. That was hit by a car June 18th, 2025 in Sewanee, Georgia. Please let me know. That's brutal. So this is how we're going to get back into our Mount Rushmore of Dogs conversation. Because a lot of people were nominating John Wick's dog. John Wick's dog was very cute. And the part where John Wick's dog, after getting killed, like crawls, like, or getting the hell beaten out of it by Theon Greyjoy, like crawls all the way back and dies right next to John Wick. Oh, it's so sad. Sorry, I'm bringing up sad moments. We're going to make it fun again. Mount Rushmore of Dogs continues. Sean Mapes back in Mission Control. We're live here at Cactus Jacks as part of our summer circuit. You had some nominations. Hit us.
Yes, of dogs that at least we hadn't mentioned on air. I don't know if people had sent these in. But Courage, the cowardly dog, going with the cartoons.
But he's a coward.
He's a cowardly dog, yeah. But he does save the day somehow.
He does save the day a lot, like accidentally, seemingly. Yes, that is true.
Gromit from Wallace and Gromit. I think he's a pretty good dog. Inventor.
That's true. I've never seen it.
Inventor.
But I know it's the claymation British show, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's a good fictional dog.
Lady and or the Tramp.
more of the Tramp guy.
Yeah,
I'm more of
awesome.
The Tramp doesn't even have a name. Did he have a name?
He's the Tramp.
I don't know.
He's the Tramp.
Give him a name. What? He's a whore.
I googled that one.
You know what?
Who's going to name
him? That's like
him?
Some classism.
Who's going to name him?
The Tramp's
He's a
name.
Tramp. No one names the Tramp.
He does not have a proper name that he uses himself. According to the animated dogs wiki, other dogs like Tony and Joe call him Butch, but he doesn't identify with those names. The name Tramp was chosen by Walt Disney after considering other options like Homer, Rags, and Bozo.
Great name with the Tramp.
In Italy, Tramp's name has been established. This is Disney Wikipedia official. Has been established as Biagio il Randagio, a Biagio the stray dog, which is also what Tony and Joe call him in this. Okay, so his name is Biagio. Don't call him a tramp. Call him a tramp.
Sorry, I didn't have the Italian cut of Lady and the Tramp.
It's anti-Italian discrimination. Oh, he's just going to call him a tramp. Oh, he's a dog. He sleeps in the streets. Oh, he's going after the other ladies. He's going after the lady over here.
He does. That's what he does in the movie.
Lady's prissy. Lady, oh, look at me. I'm lady. I'm too good for you, the tramp, whose name I won't even ask for, bitch. And by the way, I could call her that. She's a dog. That's a term for female dogs, okay?
Well done.
Thank you.
That is very true. I would say legendary dog, probably, of cinema, Toto from Wizard of Oz.
Ooh, that's true. That's true.
Got sucked up in a tornado.
That's true. But
what was that? I like my dogs that don't get sucked up by tornadoes.
Yeah.
Is that
damn right?
Didn't he wake them up when they all got high in the opium? The poppy. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. In the poppy field. Didn't he wake them up? I thought he did.
I don't remember.
I think so.
I don't remember.
But I don't remember it perfectly. Oh, go for it.
No, you go for it.
The last one, I don't know his name, but the dog from Tom and Jerry that would always beat up Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
The one that
He looks like he was on steroids.
Yeah, the giant loving father.
Yes.
Just doing what dogs do, which is
he
beat
looks
the
like
hell
the,
out of Tom.
Doing his job.
He looked a lot like the Gonzaga and the Georgia mascots, when in reality bulldogs look very different. I'm guessing this was like an American bulldog, this dog.
Or like Bull Mastiff, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, something like that. A couple of people have said Odie. No.
Nah. Odie sucks.
No. Odie's stupid. Yeah. we don't like him. I would say the same thing about, Pluto. You know what? Pluto's goofy. I would have been able to tolerate Pluto from Disney. Scrappy-Doo, I've said before, I would have left him at a shelter. And Scooby-Doo is definitely on the Mount Rushmore, because Scooby-Doo, like, solved mysteries, can talk a little bit, and, like, definitely was 420 friendly.
I think he might be the number one. Like, I don't know if there's a dog better than Scooby.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick probably does not like Scooby-Doo.
No,
I think he'd put him down.
Governor Greg Abbott. On his side.
That's true. That's 100% true. Ricky Williams, also on his side. Ricky Williams has been, like, the biggest advocate for, like, not following through with this complete ban of all hemp-related products. How about that? You're learning something new every day. Bringing it about to dogs. Who let the dogs out? Who?
Ricky Williams was the dog when he played.
Some people are asking, how do you leave these dogs out? No, we talked about some of these dogs already, like Lassie and Old Yeller and some of these other ones already.
Has anyone brought up, Sean, I think, went back to the 40s with
Toto.
Toto, yeah. But Hooch from the Tom Hanks classic.
I haven't
Turner
seen
and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, but no? I there are enough references made to Turner and Hooch in the movies, in the TV show Scrubs.
Yeah,
I feel like I need to watch it.
That and the Jim Belushi cinematic masterpiece, K-9.
K-9.
I believe that's a German Shepherd in that movie.
AR Platinum has a good one. Does Triumph the Insult Comic Dog from Conan count?
I think he counts.
I think he counts.
I think he's on the Mount Rushmore, too.
I would agree. He's fantastic. I would love to bring him on. Goofy. Is Goofy a cow or a dog?
Goofy's
a dog.
He's a dog.
I think he's a cow.
He's a high-class
dog. Why do you think he's a cow?
Because
look at his ears.
I haven't seen him shirtless. He might have udders.
Google it. I bet if you Google Goofy
shirtless,
you'll
probably
see don't have udders, by the way.
Maybe he identifies. He's goofy. Okay. He might identify.
I always thought he was a dog, and I always thought it was messed up that Pluto's a pet and Goofy is an equal to Mickey. I thought that was messed up that they did that.
Per artificial intelligence, Goofy is neither a dog nor a cow.
What?
Despite his appearance and some character relationships. He is an anthropomorphic dog and often associated with dogs. His official designation is Canis Goofus. Okay, so I guess he is more of a dog. He's not a cow, but I guess he's married to a cow.
Yes, he is.
Clarabelle Cow.
No disrespect, but yes.
He likes the boobs. I get it. You know, likes some udders.
Chubby right, Chaser Goofy. That's what
he likes. A thick woman.
Yeah, he likes a thick woman. Oh, he would have liked Total Recall, I think. Anyway.
You know what? She was, Goofy the dog
in the way there.
Goofy, yeah, Goofy.
Gorsh.
Yeah. It's Small Galant Show. B-Max hanging out here. Sean Mapes at Mission Control. We've been doing Mount Rushmore of Dog Talks. It's June. We're having a great time here at Cactus Jack's. This is a fantastic spot, so come on out here. Killer Bees are going to be here after me. The Homeward Bound Dog. Yeah, Shadow. Shadow's a good dog. Got a good voice. Chance was kind of annoying. Chance voiced by Michael J. Fox. Anyway, I think Sally Field was the cat in that movie, too. Up next, how did the NBA draft affect our Houston Rockets? Are they in a better spot after the draft? We'll discuss that and more. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, live at Cactus Jack's. Stick around.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.